Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So you came up with an interesting one there, Constance, that maybe the moon is inhabited not by virtue that we have the originals who may have brought it here, but by a new race of travelers?
By a new race of travelers. Yeah, that's right. We just don't know, but of course, but I think so. I think that's a possibility. I talk about the spaceship moon theory because it's, you know, people have always been interested in it. But I'm just beginning to talk about the idea that maybe, you know, these guys came in. And I won't necessarily share this on air, but we hear so much about these sinister ETs, and I hate to go there. But could that be what happened? Could some of the graves be up there?
Well, it's possible that there are alien bases on the moon. I mean, if we go so far as to believe that extraterrestrial visitation or interstellar travel is possible, and that's what's happening, then a moon base seems perfectly reasonable. I just wanted to bring up, since you guys have been talking about sci-fi and stuff too, that there was this TV series called Space 1999. Which was set in 1999, which is a long time ago now, but it was based on the premise that there was a nuclear explosion on the moon that knocked it out of orbit and sent it off on a mission like a spaceship with a base on it, starring Martin Landau, I believe, and Barbara Bain, created by Jerry and Sylvia Anderson. So, yeah.
And they had puppets in there too, right?
They had real actors for this one.
Okay, they did. But Martin Landau and Barbara Bain, of course, were famous courtesy of Mission Impossible.
Of course. So, I mean, it's really fun stuff to think about. And I love that you go into it and you include all of this stuff. And there really is some interesting things and mysteries out there. I mean, we don't really know everything about the moon, and it's a fascinating subject. And there's people talking about going back now to explore it some more, robotically and otherwise. So, I mean, who knows?
We've only explored, you know, actually less than 1% of the moon.
Just to, by the way, bring up something also, since we mentioned Barbara Bain in the Space 1999, she's still alive.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
She's 89. Her original birth name is Mildred Fogel. She's a nice Jewish girl from Chicago.
Great. I don't really know her.
I remember I used to watch the show when I was younger. You know, it was on TV, and I loved sci-fi, so I'd watch anything, no matter how bad it was. And, you know, it was kind of cheesy, but it was okay. It was fun.
Captain Video and his Video Rangers.
I was interested in Lost in Space. That was my thing.
Oh, sure, right. Wasn't it Baltar, the evil, the scientist or something that was on?
Well, the main villain in Lost in Space was a character, a stowaway, evidently named Dr. Smith, played by Jonathan Harris. So maybe that's the one that we're talking about here. Now, the problem is that the original show was starred Guy Williams, who played Zorro on TV. It was produced by Irwin Allen, who made all those disaster movies. And, of course, Bill Mumy was one of the stars. And Bill became famous also by the TV series Babylon 5.
Oh, was he on there?
Yeah, Bill Mumy was on Babylon 5 and Lost in Space.
Okay, that's good to know.
Anyway, we're getting all over the place here, and I could probably go on for hours with all of the different related things that go on with the moon, but in your estimation, Constance, what's the most important aspect of moon research that has taken, or maybe not even important, but interesting to you? Like, what is the key thing? Where does it all come down to?
I would like to know who is up there, because what's key is I think it's important that we understand that we are not alone in the universe. I think it's important for us to know, you know, where we came from, who we are, how we're connected to it all. I think that we are finding ourselves in a crisis in our world. It's a mess. And I think that this would actually help us somehow to know that we are part of a galactic community. I think it could you know, actually bring us together. Also, we don't know what the future holds. We may have to escape this planet. Well, you know, we keep hearing about it. We need somewhere else to go. We should, you know, figure it out. That's why they're going to Mars. They're just bypassing the moon, pretty much, if you ask me. They're talking about building, a place on Mars in case we have to escape, which is, I don't understand. Mars is awful, awful place to live. But
well, they can always do it the way they did it in the movie Total Recall. Remember Total Recall, the original one, not the remake, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sharon Stone, where they build a machine that can generate a real atmosphere.
Yeah.
The only problem with Total Recall is that they didn't consider what they considered in the original Edgar Rice Burroughs, John Carter books on Mars, that because the gravitational pull is less, people from Earth would be much stronger. Not just like Arnold Schwarzenegger strong, but would be very strong. They'd be able to jump in the air like John Carter. They never considered that. But they considered the issue of making an internal self-contained city generating its own atmosphere.
Well, okay. I saw Total Recall. I've seen it a few times. I didn't like it, but that's what they're hoping for. That's what they're hoping to do in case, you know, we blow ourselves up here or if we, you know, use up all of our resources. But I think in answer to your original question, I think we need to know what's going on out there. And I think we should become a part of that galactic community. That's not all bad. The, you know, extraterrestrials are portrayed as the sinister beings, but I don't believe that's the case for all. There are good and bad and everything. There is this duality. We've seen it in all of the Star Wars movies. But I think that's the end of what we want, is to know we're not alone and to have proof.
Well, there are, of course, religious beliefs that E.T. is demonic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They've got to get past this. They've just got to get past it. If humanity is going to grow, you know, we've got to mature a little bit and look at what's real. I don't want to, I don't want to insult religions, but you have to do the research and the studying and not just take what you've been taught your whole life about, you know, demons or this and that. You do your own research and stop just accepting.
Well of course, it is possible that with everything else, if there is E.T., there would be good guys and bad guys or bad beings or whatever. It wouldn't necessarily be all good. We have no way of knowing, except for this, and this is something we could pursue or not, and that is, if E.T. was evil, because they can travel in craft that's way beyond what we have, if they wanted to take us over, they could have done that a long, long time ago. And the fact that they haven't indicates that either they don't care or they are benevolent towards us. But then my only response to E.T. is war and disease. And if E.T. cares about us, why aren't they doing something to help those poor primitive earthlings? We have Constance. Well, we have Jean. We have Randall. More to come. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Constance, in our previous segment, I was bringing up the fact that if E.T. was evil, they'd certainly have the power to take care of us. On the other hand, they don't show any evidence that they care about us because they allow things to happen that are just horrible.
Okay, first of all, they haven't taken us out. They didn't bother any of the astronauts on the moon. So apparently, you know, like you said, they don't care, or, you know, they're not worried. They're not also, you know, gods. Who said that they have, you know, the right to, you know, just come down and interfere? There have been stories about extraterrestrials actually meeting with the governments on Earth and telling them, you know, if you have these weapons, this weaponry, you can blow yourselves up. We'd rather you not do that because it could have a rippling effect in the universe. You know, can we help you out? We can give you, you know, this technology if you give up your weapons. And the story is that they were told no. If those stories are true and they did meet with government officials, then our officials turned them down. The other thing is there's a theory that there's the Star Trek theory, the Prime Directive. Maybe they're not allowed to just step in and interfere that way. So they can't just, you know, put a hand in when we're doing it to ourselves. All right, maybe if there is an asteroid coming towards the Earth and we can't defend ourselves, then they can move that thing out of the way. Okay, but are they really going to, how are they going to come down and separate everybody from, you know, who's good and who's bad?
That's a really interesting question. And you've also written three other books, The Encyclopedia of God, mm-hmm. The Encyclopedia of Angels, and The Encyclopedia of the Unseen World. And you've been at this for quite some time. This reminds me of some of the work that Rosemary Ellen Guiley has done. So, and you are a contemporary of hers, really. So,
you know what? I loved her. Loved her.
Yeah. Really good writer and digger up of information, just like what you're doing with these things. So I was going to ask you if you found some parallels here, then when you've done your research on religious subject matter, are you finding that perhaps what we're dealing with is really the same thing, and that it's just that people have framed it in a religious model, but we're actually talking about the same thing?
Yes. The short of it is yes.
Interesting.
So when it comes to God, for example, the terminology of God versus the gods, you know, I believe that the gods were extraterrestrials that had come here to try to help as much as they could. I believe it was, you know, that the god of the, gosh, this really gets complicated. So I believe that the god of the Hebrew part of the Bible was not a benevolent being. I believe that he was a physical, I sort of believe that he was a physical being. I mean, we've come a long way. We are in 2021. In the scriptures, and take a more of an objective look at them, I think, and just get in there and see, you know, there, to me, when I read about the tabernacle, I feel like somebody was in that tabernacle, you know, and it wasn't the God of heaven that created us. I believe it was something else, because he was so, you know, hard on his people, and you know he did you know he killed them by the tons, and no, I believe that I see, to me that shows an ET being that was not necessarily there for the good of all. But when I turn to the Christian scriptures, it appears in my mind that, you know, there were ETs that were trying to undo some of the brainwashing of that time that had been done. And they said, no, just put that away, just show love. And I believe that, you know, those people that came down, Jesus, you know, they came down, you know, he may have been, you know, sent as well. He was sent as well, you know, from benevolent beings to come into the world to try and assist these crazy people here on Earth to think better, and they killed him. Okay. And I think that there were a lot of these men who have come into to our civilization, have come down here in an attempt to help. Today, we're seeing that they approach, you know, like I said before, approach the presidents, you know, or officials of the governments to try to help in a different way. But, you know, never have they come down and just, you know, separated this one from that one, but they have tried to. That's a parallel I see. The other thing is, from my work on, in the unseen world, it is said, excuse me, in some of the research I did, that planet Earth is somewhere that spirits and souls don't want to come into because it's just so bad and it's just so hard here. And it is known to be a dark place to come. I found that very telling and very interesting that, you know, we are dark, but they don't want to come in. Some of them just don't want to come in. You know, but, you know, the soul is our real, you know, soul, astral body, light body, whatever you want to call it. That is our real person. We are in this body to be able to live here on Earth. But this is not the only world. It's not the only place that our true self can visit. And Earth is not one of the places that some of them want to come. So, yeah, I think that's interesting. Angels. When I started out studying about angels, I had no idea that it would lead me to the idea that angels are either an extraterrestrial race, but they're still angels. You know, they're still good beings, and they're found throughout the world. All cultures, all civilizations have these beings that do try, you know, to help. But I never before did I think I would be thinking that they are extraterrestrials of a sort. So I do see. Yeah, I see parallels in there all the time.
Yeah, it's as if we can just strip away the religious talk and theme and lens of it all, that we end up with exactly the same thing. As soon as we deify the experience of seeing some sort of a being of light coming down from the sky, then it becomes a religious thing. If we don't do that, then we're going, oh my God, what was that? It seemed to be intelligent. It seems to be some kind of living thing, or it has purpose. It's real. I wonder what that is. We need to study it.
We need to study these announcements with Constance Jean and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States has set another new record for COVID vaccinations, administering more than 4 million shots on Friday. That's also brought the 7-day average to more than 3 million shots administered per day. The increased vaccination pace coming as some areas of the country are seeing an uptick in new cases of COVID. Michigan has recorded its largest number of new cases in a single day since December. The state says it saw more than 8,400 new cases on Saturday. and the personal data of over 500 million Facebook users has been discovered on a website for hackers. The names, Facebook IDs, phone numbers, and email addresses of users from more than 100 countries was found on the site. A Facebook spokesperson says the data was old and accessed during a previously acknowledged hack in 2019. The company says that issue has been fixed, but the leak is raising more questions about the security of social media companies like Facebook. You're listening to USA Radio News. More information has come out on the mass shooting in Orange, California. Wendy King has that story from the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau.
A man accused of opening fire at a Southern California business complex, killing four people, including a child, and injuring three others, has now been charged with four counts of murder and could face the death penalty, according to prosecutors. The Orange County District Attorney's Office says Aminadab Gonzalez faces four felony counts of murder and one felony count of attempted murder. Also, two felony counts of attempted murder of a police officer. Orange police said Gonzalez knew the victims, locked the gates to the business complex before opening fire inside a business, which was called Unified Homes. The police fired on him through the gates and subdued him before using bolt cutters to break the bike locks and access the scene. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue here two more segments on the regular show with Constance Victoria Briggs, author of the Encyclopedia of Moon Mysteries, and she will hang for us for an extra bit for the After the Paracast podcast. And by the way, we're going to get into some of her other books too. I mean, the world isn't just lunar mysteries. Now, in some of the segments we've talked about so far, Constance, we did talk about some of these theories that don't quite hold up. Was there anything about your research in putting all this together that maybe disappointed you? You thought this would be something really interesting and it didn't turn out that way?
Yeah, are you referring to the moon or just any of the books in general?
Let's start with the moon, okay?
Yeah, the possibility that there actually, the moon isn't all beauty and in light as I would like to it to have been, that there actually may be some extraterrestrials up there that are not so nice. It's my understanding that there is a possibility that there are more than one group up there. Excuse me, and that some of them, like I said, may have not so great means, and that those could be the ones watching the Earth. That bothers me to say. I don't like to put that out there, and it is a theory. I'd like to kind of stick with the idea that because the astronauts weren't bothered up there, that, you know, it's only one group and they're very nice. But, you know, it is a huge place, you know, on both sides of the moon. You know, it's the size of the U.S. And anybody coming into the moon could be a base or bases. And the fact that there could possibly be dark beings there really, I found, upsetting.
And I was actually referring, Constance, to stories that turned out they couldn't possibly be true.
I hope so. That could be true or could not be true.
Could not be true. This stuff, I'm looking into it, and it's just a dead end. It doesn't really look like anything that I take seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there was a gentleman that went up with a remote viewing named Ingo Swann. And I don't know if you know his story. I'm pretty sure, you do, Gene. You seem to be well-versed in all of these. So he goes up. He was hired by an agency secretly to go up and remote view the moon. And so he, I don't really know much about how it works. I've tried to explain it. I want to say projected his consciousness where he could see, where, you know, he could see what was up there. He had a very good reputation for being a world-renowned sort of remote viewer. He was the one who discovered, before he ever went to the moon, he remote viewed Jupiter and found the ring of Jupiter. So he had a good reputation and they wanted him. So he goes up, you know, and he sees beings up there and he says that they're working in their buildings. But then he said that they sensed him. And he pulled himself out, his consciousness out, and that they followed him, and that he hid here. And that really bothered me. I found it disturbing. I hope that you're right. I would love to think that that was not correct, and that someone up there wasn't after him.
But Ingo Swann was a real person, or I'm not sure if he's still around, but... And
I think he's passed on.
Noted for doing his remote viewing, which remote viewing has been pretty much debunked. But like a lot of paranormal stuff, there's still some kind of tantalizing tidbits in there that make you think. So, you know, it depends on how far out you want to go. I'm not sure exactly what I believe when it comes to all of that stuff, but a lot of people have reported some kind of telepathic contact with aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So if there were any up there, or whether they were even up there or not, maybe, I mean, who's to say? Maybe he did have some kind of telepathic contact with aliens, and that frightened him to come out of his remote viewing experience. We can't completely rule that out.
Right.
It sounds like a stretch. But the other thing I wanted to mention, too, in connection with all of this, is that when it comes to the moon, it seems like there's a lot of duality. There's this light side of the moon, and well, I guess both sides of the moon do get light, but there's the side that's visible to us, and then there's the side that's not. And then people talk about the light side and the dark side, because there is also a light side and a dark side at any given time. And then you've got this idea that there are Nazis that went to the moon.
Yeah.
that's
disappointing.
You know, did you happen to cover any of that in your book?
I mentioned it briefly, you know, in the 40s that they were said to have, reversed technology and were able to create some sort of craft that went up there and that they could have a base up there. That I prefer not to believe.
Yeah, I don't give it much credence personally, but I find the stories really interesting.
Right, that's the mystery.
It's all part of the culture and the stories and the myths and the mystery is all really quite fascinating to me. Whether, you know, we choose to believe it or not, that's kind of up to us. And like you say, people have to do their own research to come up with what's reasonable for them. Another thing that you cover here, and this is in our talking points, what are some of the stories about the Soviet Union and the cosmonauts?
Right. So, you know, the Soviets, during that time of the race to the moon, you know, they were really interesting. They, in the race to the moon, the cosmonauts are believed to have lost around six cosmonauts in their endeavors. There are some stories out there. One is that in their experiments, they lost them, I mean. One is that one of the cosmonauts was sent up early on in a craft, and it went south, it went bad, and that you could hear this cosmonaut just as it was on the way to crash back into the Earth was just cursing and screaming, you know, as it crashed. I actually saw pictures of that, and I believe it was an old gosh, an old Life magazine. So that one we knew about. That was one. Others were said to have been lost. One of the Apollo astronauts, there's a mysterious story about how they had seen bright lights out of their window. If you look at my book and all of the Apollo missions, you can find that story. I just can't remember. There's so many of them, which is which. But these astronauts looked out the window at this bright light and trying to figure out where that light was coming from. They saw a dead cosmonaut. This is the story. Also, there is a story where a couple of cosmonauts were out there and working, and one was a female cosmonaut, and they're talking about, you know, first it starts out day one or day two, everything seemed to be okay, but after that, things started going south again, and in the end, you hear this cosmonaut screaming, this is not working, that's not working, look out of the window, we have to get back or something like this, or, you know, the world will never know, and then they're lost.
Oh, that sounds really tragic.
Right. But then there's this interesting one involving UFOs, where this craft, Soviet craft, was in orbit, and they stumbled across three UFOs that surrounded them, and they were trying to move, and then they were sort of, these UFOs wouldn't let them by. It's almost, the way it was described, it was like feeling like they were like a ping pong ball or something between these UFOs.
So the book is called The Encyclopedia of Moon Mysteries, Secrets, Conspiracy Theories, Anomalies, Extraterrestrials, and in smaller type, don't ask me that, and more. Let's do our break here, and we'll continue with the story about the cosmonauts and the UFOs with Constance, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural,
You must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Constance is talking here in our final segment of the main episode of the Paracast about the cosmonauts encountering UFOs. That sound mysterious enough? UFOs. Tell us more.
So these cosmonauts felt like they were in a game of somehow, and they couldn't get past these UFOs, which brings me back to the point that maybe, you know, again, are we being watched? How did they know that they were on their way? How did they know they were going? But anyway, the cosmonauts turned around and were freaked out, and they left and came back to Earth. So those are my cosmonaut stories. Yeah, they didn't have much success. And of course, the last but not least one is if you believe that Apollo 20 was a hoax or not, that's a whole other story. One of the Soviet cosmonauts is said to have gone on that trip.
I wasn't sure exactly where we should go next with this.
Well, I have one interesting cosmonaut story if I have the time.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So this one is not moon-related, but I did sneak it into my book because I love it so much. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this, about the cosmonauts seeing quote-unquote angels out there.
I haven't run across this one. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So they have, like an ISS sort of thing, a place that they do go and they spend time. So they go in teams. So this particular team of 3 went up one year and they were working and they noticed this bright, I believe it was an orange light, another bright orange light outside of their ship. And they look out and they see 3 what they described as angels. So that was their word. The size of a 747 jet, complete with wings and, beautiful faces. They were all identical and they were in shock, but it wasn't scary. It was quite comforting. And, they gave, you know, the name of three. I have the name of the 3 cosmonauts and, the quotes. So they come back and they report this and, you know, they reported it. About 2 weeks later, they had to switch out crews. Another crew comes in, and they too saw the same thing, the same report. So we know that they, you know, 6 people now are claiming to have seen what they said looked like angels out there. So I find that fascinating. We don't know, of course, if they were angels or they were some sort of extraterrestrials, what they were seeing, but 6 of them saw this. This story is said to have been smuggled out of the Soviet Union. It is a mystery. I have it in the book.
Was this 6 people seeing it all at the same time?
No, that's what's so interesting, is that they switched off crews up there. You know, three came back and three more took their place, you know.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So the first three, did they see it all at the same time?
They did.
Okay, so I'm starting to have a hard time believing that, I mean, if this really took place as reported, that anyone was simply hallucinating this.
Right.
Because, I mean, sure, okay, a person could maybe have some kind of a vision about an angel, but three of them all at the same time?
Right.
And then, again, three other people all at the same time? That's pretty interesting.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you have angels, in my opinion, angels can take on any form that you might quickly be able to identify. So if they wanted to look like an angel, they could have put on the wings, you know, appeared with wings, so they get it that there's some benevolent beings out there that are looking out for them. If they had appeared as anything else, I don't know if the cosmonauts, you know, would have gotten the message. But they seem to have felt that these beings looked like they were smiling and that they were hiding.
And they could very well have been doing both, because that's kind of the whole nature of the whole alien visitation phenomenon, isn't it? They make themselves visible to us in these fantastic ways, often with bright lights and lots of energy, doing maneuvers that would require a lot of energy and be almost impossible for us to do ourselves, but they never seem to let us get close enough to get the real evidence as to what's going on. And that's kind of the same with this moon mystery thing. You know, we go up there to see what's going on, and they come back, and all we have are these rumors and these speculations and these, it's like a modern urban myth in the scientific community or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but like I said, it may have something to do with some sort of prime directive because we're not ready yet. That's the whole idea of talking about, you know, the Moon Mysteries book, of talking about all of these things, is maybe to prepare people so that they don't have to continue to hide. If you recall, what, a few months ago now, there was a professor, an Israeli professor, who came forward and said that, you know, humans are working with the Galactic Federation. Do you know that story?
Yeah, he's a former military official in Israel.
Right. So he is in his 80s, and he's got a resume as long as my arm. And he said that he can come forward and he can talk about this stuff because, you know, he has nothing to lose now. 5 years ago, he said they would have said he was crazy, but now he's come forward and he said that humans are working with ETs, something called the Galactic Federation, which I heard about like over 20 years ago. I first heard the name Galactic Federation. I was just shocked that someone had said it and outed them. But my whole point is that supposedly we're not ready. So that's why they're not showing themselves. This writer, this Israeli military guy, said the ET said that we're not ready, so they don't come forward to expose themselves.
Yeah, but that sounds like something out of Star Trek.
Yeah,
and then the other thing that bothers me, Constance, is that if there's a prime directive, they don't want to interfere with our affairs. Mm-hmm. But the mere fact that they're seen is interference.
Mm-hmm. I can get into that. See, I think there are some that are. I know it sounds Star Trek-y, and I have a Gene Roddenberry story, by the way. I believe, though, that there are some that don't care, and I think that, you know, they can only go but so far before they get in trouble. I believe there is a Galactic Federation or something out there, and that's why they absolutely don't just land, or they could. I mean, they're showing themselves just a little bit, just enough to tantalize us, but not enough to get in trouble. I have an interesting Gene Roddenberry story, though.
You know what? Let's hold that for after the PowerCast, okay?
All right.
Okay, let's give people an incentive to listen to that. Now, the
point
to mention also here is that we all know that in 2063, a crazy inventor named Zefren Cochrane will invent warp drive and therefore attract the presence of the Vulcans and make first contact. That's, by the way, the legend from Star Trek in the movie Star Trek First Contact.
Right.
Which it's, I thought that was one of the best films, by the way. It was directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah.
Number one. Okay, yeah. Can you tell our listeners who want to know more about what you do, Constance? You have a website they can check out?
Yes, my website, you can go on there and send me a question or something. I don't mind. It's ConstanceVictoriaBriggs.com. I'm also on Facebook under Constance Victoria Briggs, where I post all kinds of cosmic stuff and information. And I have a Moon Mysteries page where I'm posting more Moon Mysteries, Moon facts, Moon lore, all kinds of stuff there. Having a very good time with all of that.
We had a good time talking about your book, Constance. You can find us on Facebook also. If you look for the Paracast, we have a fan club and a group. Also, we are on Twitter. We also have branded merchandise of the Paracast with different logos. We have the T-shirts and the throw pillows. We even have a bed for pets. I have a medium-sized bed for pets, and I might want to get one of those for our dog, Teddy Bear. If you want to know more, go to theparacast.shop. Theparacast.shop, and don't forget the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. It's a subscription service where we offer a version of this show free of the network ads with better quality audio. We also give you the After the Paracast podcast, where we'll hear more from Constance and her Gene Roddenberry story, by the way. That's the cliffhanger. We also are still giving away a coupon code for free download of The Phenomenon, the James Fox UFO documentary, and 3 hours of extra material while they last for 5-year or lifetime subscriptions. Lifetime's a great deal because the show's been around for over 15 years. To sign up, please go to theparacast.plus. That's theparacast.plus. Constance Biggs, thank you for joining us on The Paracast.
Thank you for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.